And now we're going to hear about engaging partners to enhance the workforce, Massachusetts and New England. And we're going to hear from Darrell Fox, Sharon Henderson, Lorenza Holt, Jeff Wilkinson, Gail Hirsch, and is Terry Mason here as well? Okay, great. And just one other thing I'm going to mention, I neglected to send around the sign-in sheet for this section or session, so I'm going to send that around, so please sign in. Thanks.
If I say, sweet Caroline, you say, ba, ba, ba.
How's everybody feeling? As I sat at the Patriots game yesterday with a group of young people, and they trotted out the Red Sox players with the trophy, I felt how great it feels sometimes and blessed to be from New England. It's not all the time. If you call me in February, March, I'll probably be talking about the 9 feet of snow. But I thank you all for coming to the city I was born and raised. I now live in Central Mass, but I thank you all for being here. My name is Darrell Fox. I'm very active, as you see by my colorful fruit salad on my chest, in the American Public Health Association. Also very active in my local and state associations, affiliates, and associations related to CHWs, and involved with the New England Regional. I began working as a community health worker doing nighttime street outreach in downtown Boston and housing developments for about 20 years. Working for Children's Hospital Boston and something called the Boston Street Youth Outreach Program. So I earned my stripes on the streets. I am the son of a longtime legislator, and so I try to kind of shift and take the things I know from the street, what's happening on the ground, and move it into the boardrooms, the city councils, the state houses, and also down to Congress. And so that's kind of the walk that I do. How y'all feeling today? All right. So none of us have anything to declare. We receive no money from anybody. If you'd like to change that, please help. People know my mantra. I like to do a lot of call and response. So I used to say a lot of, don't talk about it,
be about it.
And so this whole concept of CHWs and self-determination, also known in the Nguza Saba of Kuji Chakalia, we have strived to say, there's a lot of people talking about us. There's a lot of people doing different things here and there. But our mantra has been nothing with us, about us, without us. And that's from one of the many days at the State House. And the us are community health workers. I think being in the rooms in the mid to late 90s, having discussions about a title that could unify over 80 different titles we were hearing from people around the country who were doing similar work, a title that would we could live with, that would be aligned with our core values. And CHW was that title. And I think we've continued to revisit some of that. I think we've been challenged around unification behind this. And I urge people as we move forward from this session and forward further that we really go back to kind of the grassroots organic organizing of that term, understanding we're not just talking about healthcare, we're talking about the broader public health as well. That H stands for many things in CHW. So I just want to remind people of that, and I hope we can move forward with that as well, with unification. I want to talk briefly, about some of the characteristics, particularly in Massachusetts. And it's been really, truly organic from the ground up, based upon the needs of the workforce, with people within the workforce being the articulators of our destiny, working directly with a lot of our partners in health departments, health plans, hospital associations, and other professions. But we have truly been diverse and organic from the very beginning. We've also been really hard at work ensuring that we are representing the entire workforce across the state, because we have much diversity and people would say disparity between the services and things available to our residents, as well as our community health worker workforce in different parts of the state. People know, I think that's a dynamic in many states where you have a resource-rich city like Boston, capital city, and if you drive 3 hours west, you have a lot of open space and not a lot of resources. So we've tried to bring our brothers and sisters from all across the state. We've also had people diverse by discipline. That was also another focal point of building Machwa, was having folks from different interests, as well as people out of the healthcare, so the housing advocates, CHWs, the violence CHWs, et cetera. One of the things that we began when MATRA was founded in 2000 was we were born out of the need to do something, being sick and tired of being sick and tired, you name it. There's all kinds of things I could say at this point. But we really did grow because of the disenfranchisement of our CHW workforce across the state. There were several emergency 9C cuts in the late 90s, one of which, one major one, where some CHWs learned on Wednesday that their program would be shutting down on Friday because of the emergency budget cut. So we didn't just form to come together to talk, to meet, and we were about the business of policy and advocacy to change that paradigm. So that's been one of our missions over the years. So we decided, after working with other coalitions, I won't name their names, and trying to kind of join their efforts, which I think was smart of us, but finding that at the end of the day, the paid lobbyists for those organizations and some of the other folks in those organizations didn't really have us all the way in their heart. And we would spend a lot of energy sometimes, and at the end of the day, when either legislation or policy went forward, CHWs were nowhere to be found, or resource of the CHWs were nowhere to be found. So we said, aha, we're going to do our own thing. So we got together with some of our allies and partners, began the path of developing our own freestanding legislation. And one of those pieces began and started moving through the committee process at the state house level. And then lo and behold, health reform movement took the next. We've had waves in Massachusetts since the 90s. But this was the wave for the 2006 health reform. And so a legislator from healthcare financing contacted a group of us, and pretty much there's five of us, the five of us are in the room, and said, we want to integrate your legislation on CHWs into our health reform bill. So verbatim, our freestanding legislation that was moving through processes became section 110 of our state health reform. And we also gave a lot of information, I know I'm running over, a lot of information that we also informed other sections of health reform, section 104, which is the outreach and enrollment grants, et cetera. So we've been about policy from the very beginning. That was my point. I know I went around the mulberry bush to tell you that, but that's what I'm telling you. One of the other things, and people in this room who know me and feel my passion, I mean, one of the things that we've been blessed with in Massachusetts is multiple CHWs, CHW leaders, allies and partners who have been in the mix nationally really since the 90s. So we've had our ear to the ground. We have been able to see and understand the stops and stops, the ebbs and flows in the movement. We've seen some progressive portions of the movement, and we've seen some not so progressive related to CHWs in the movement. One of the things that some of us have done and been able to go to meetings on the ground in Texas and places like Texas and Ohio is to truly keep our ear to the ground and ask some of the questions around the states who've already had certification. So now I'm kind of gradually going into my certification hat. In 2006, which was a continuation of discussions that were happening locally, MATRA hosted a major policy forum, over 150, primarily CHWs, some allies and partners as well, and we invited up the people from the Harrison Law Institute at Georgetown. They had been the ones that had consulted with Texas and Ohio in their certification process. So we started kind of with the nuts and bolts of credentialing, demystifying the terms, talking about the potential unintended consequences, et cetera, of credentialing certification, as well as some of the pluses related to that. So this was a critical piece in 2007. In 2008, MATRA, working with many allies and partners, developed three different policy briefs at different times during that year that kind of backed up and augmented the information we received at that one session, but we spread it around the state by offering these policy briefs as well as offering them to others. And that, once again, was a critical step in our really deliberate look at credentialing for CHWs, whether that be certification, licensure, or otherwise. Window of opportunity is a theme that you will hear me say just a couple of times. I don't have much more time with you. But that's what our movement has been about. It's been about looking at opportunities to move from some positive things happening, like a small group in Springfield, Mass., in the western part of Mass., developing a system where they coalesced and created a fund that supported multiple FTEs of CSWs for multiple years without grant funding. So it outlived lots of the grants that were going to that area, but we're talking 2, 3, 4, 5 members of our workforce. We said, what are the things that we can do to, at a one fell swoop, make an impact on the rest of the workforce? So windows of opportunities, how we move from small successes in programs to bigger statewide successes is kind of how we developed our strategies. In 2010, a major report was released after about a year and a half, almost 2 years of work from pretty much everybody who was anybody involved with health, human services, public health, community health workers were involved in a work in monthly meetings, 40 to 50 people, employers, supervisors, CHWs, you name it. And so we developed the report that went to the governor legislature as well as our HHS secretary. Our health and human services secretary was very tough on us. Matter of fact, I believe she delayed release and we were ready with our signs to protest. We actually did make a big protest thing, but we won't talk about that right now. But what she did do was have worked with our Department of Public Health staff and others to strengthen actually the business case portion, the research and evaluation portion of the report, which I think ultimately helped us with the next steps and levels. So unfortunately, we were saddened by the lateness of the release of the report, but it did strengthen the report. So I have to, I guess, applaud her for her sight with that. Prior to the release of the report, because of the work that had been going on for almost 10 years, and because through a lot of the conversations, credentialing and certification kept coming up within our workforce and within others, funders, et cetera, we had already begun to draft legislation. Mind you, we have a 2-year legislative session in Massachusetts, so taking advantage of windows, taking advantage of the fact that we have multiple allies and partners on the federal level, on the state level, we have legislators that some of us have very close relationships with. People know why I smile about that. And we also had commissioners of public health and others who were really involved. And matter of fact, our commissioner of public health has been walking around the hallways as this meeting has been going on as well. So, all right, guys, I know I see the look, but okay, so I just want to drive home the fact that I know there's been challenges across this country around what it means to credential a workforce of CHWs. But I just want to say that we've tried almost everything. We continue to do other things. We've had studies up the, we've had a lot of studies, excuse me. we've had initiatives, pilots, we've got reports sitting on, we've got all these things talking about the efficacy, effectiveness, we got anecdotal, we got scientific, you know, okay, all right, you get the, okay. And so we said, what else can we do in our state? And this is us talking about us. For the folks from the other states, I understand there might be a difference of opinion, but this is us truly talking about us and our workforce. And we decided to continue to move forward with multiple prong approaches, you know, 1115 waivers, you know, health plans, some of the innovative stuff there. But we felt credentialing was one piece that had to be added to that. And so we move forward with that effort. There's a lot of questions that are outstanding still. I mean, I know there's some folks from Texas here. I'm pretty sure there are some folks, maybe not in this room, from Ohio. We have a lot of unanswered questions. What has been the impact, positive and negative, on the workforce in these states that have had 10, 12 years of certification? Why we don't have some of the answers? I'm challenged with that, but there are people who are asking those questions, and there are some, and I see Carl in the room and others, who have tried to share information, but there are still critical questions that are not answered, but we can't wait. I remember sitting in rooms where there were people almost having fisticuffs talking about certification. Raise your hand if you were in the late 90s. I mean, we're talking passion. We're talking about people saying, no, we don't want to lose, and who we are, and, you know, all those arguments that we make. But while we were talking, there were other people who were drafting legislation. We had Unity Conference in 2011, where a federal representative talked about national credentialing. So I said, okay, you know, we can keep debating and talking for another decade, or we can do something about it. So we're doing something about it in our state. Other states have as well, and that's what it's about. We've also talked with other professions as well, and I just want to make one critical message. We have taken into consideration the non-healthcare brothers and sisters that are CHWs in our state. And I know recently we've talked about it as well, as a critical component of our workforce that will not be forgotten with regulation and with credentialing certification, which is key because a lot of things are pushing folks to the healthcare arena for one reason or another, but we're doing some pushback around that. You'll hear some more about that. Our movement towards certification has created a synergy, an energy, something that cannot be moved, something that cannot be shaken. And it really has brought together some of our training education programs along with our workforce leadership folks, the research and evaluation folks, as well as some of the folks that are discussing financing and sustainability. We've also refined our scope of practice, and as Lisa Renee mentioned earlier, developing a more solid core roles and competencies for our state that is in line with some of the nationally accepted core roles and competency documents. So it's our choice. Educated, informed, this is our choice in our state. We decided to create this as a title act, which is voluntary, which means you have to go through the process to call yourself a certified CHW. But we didn't make this a practice act, which would mean you can't be a CHW at all unless you get credentialed in our state. So this is a title act, and you'll hear a little bit more, I think, later about this, but we had to stave off efforts from some of our more conservative legislators to make this mandatory. So once again, we fought to make it what we wanted to make it. All right. So I also have other mantras, and as we were moving forward with certification, when there were massive budget cuts, there were people saying, well, maybe, you know, maybe not now isn't the time. And so the question we asked is we already talked about the how. We already talked about the why, but we said, if not now, then when? And then as far as CHW leadership is concerned, we always say, if not us leading the way, then who? These are questions that I think some of the other states need to continually ask, and we continue to ask ourselves that. I thank you very much for your cooperation this morning. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Lorenza Holt, and Lisa Renee and I are going to be participating together in this portion. I am a community health worker. I am a maternal and child community health worker. I'm a doula, a childbirth educator, and my passion has been to support women through the birth process. I have also directed and managed a couple of community doula programs in the Boston-Cambridge area that have been cut when budget cuts have happened. And so my passion to support women and to make sure that women get the kind of support that they need from doulas / community health workers is what drives me. So I'm now on the board of directors of MACHWA, and I'm fascinated to be part of the process looking at reimbursement for community health workers and being part of that process as a board member of MACHWA, but also always with how can we strengthen our workforce of maternal and child community health workers who are doing the home visits, who are working with mothers at their side to make sure that they get the support and services that they deserve. So that's my connection to my work with MACHWA. So as a board member, I have been able to just really love what MACHWA does and learn how MACHWA has been involving community health workers like me throughout the state. In 2007, as Darrell was mentioning, meetings were held across the state so that we could really make sure that we're hearing the voices of community health workers as we decided to move forward. And in those meetings, we had focus groups where we asked very specific questions at each site and gathered that information so that we could be documenting the answers from community health workers. In addition, at our annual meetings or training programs and other possible events, we continue to engage community health workers to ask them about their interest in certification and what they wanted. And so we made it, we heard it from all community health workers that we want to be credentialed and that we want to be certified. So what type of credentialing and what were our expectations once we got credentialed were also the questions that MACHWA was asking of community health workers across the state. The essence of the answers were from community health workers that we want professional development. We want our jobs to be sustainable and long-lasting and not grant-dependent as much. And with that will come insurance reimbursement for our services. We want to be respected by the other service providers. We want to be part of the team, but we also know that we need to be a trusted member of the individuals that we are serving. We attend a lot of workshops and a lot of trainings, and we also wanted those to count. So community health workers also had concerns, and they wanted to make sure that in that process of certification that we would not be cut off to training or to the certification process due to cost. Our salaries are not that great, and so cost is always an issue. We also wanted to make sure that the requirements for certification were not going to exclude some of us. English as a second language is something that for a lot of us is what makes us strong and effective, but writing in English may be a difficult thing, and so we wanted to make sure that the requirements would not exclude us because of lack of academic training. We wanted to make sure that it was certification and not licensing, and this was something that was unequivocal. And we wanted to make sure that certification remained voluntary and not mandatory. The payers also, there were some meetings that I attended where it was an aha moment for me, where I was glad to see that payers were saying, we want to reimburse community health workers, but we need to make sure that there are some fundamental pieces there, that there was a defined scope of practice, that we were distinguishable from other providers, that our training was consistent, and that our core competencies were validated as well. So they wanted to make sure that if they were paying for community health workers, that there was a standard that they were paying for. As Darrell indicated, we have participated, we have, as MACHWA, as a board member of MACHWA, have collaborated very broadly with many stakeholders. The Blue Cross Blue Shield Foundation, we would not be here today without their support, Central Massachusetts AHEC, the Department of Public Health, employers, payers, legislators. Really, it has been a very diverse group of stakeholders that have made the work in Massachusetts possible. And as mentioned already, we definitely wanted to learn from other states in their process, and we saw the impact of what happened when community health workers from other states were not engaged in the process, and we wanted to build from the lessons learned elsewhere, and we hope that you will learn from our lessons as we are making way as well. So it was important for us to tailor that our needs and wants were also taken into account. So in moving forward towards certification, we were committed that the consensus from community health workers was going to be part of the process. In drafting the legislation, MACHWA again involved our partners, and we have, for the last 7 years, have had a day of advocacy at the State House, and as a community health worker, it's been really wonderful to bring in other community health workers who are new to the process, and just walking with them to knock on doors, it's been really empowering for community health workers to see what happens at that level. As the bill was being considered, some of our legislators asked that the language be changed to mandatory licensure versus voluntary certification, and MACHWA and our association, community health workers were unequivocal. We wanted it to be a voluntary process, and we wanted to include community health workers. We did not want the certification to end up excluding our valuable community health workers. So we passed, the bill was passed. Chapter 322 of the Acts of 2010 established a Board of Certification for Community Health Workers. And that is where now Jeff Wilkinson is going to tell you about what has been happening with that Board of Certification. Thank you. Anything that you would like to add, Lisa Renee? Okay.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you very much for coming. I'm Jeff Wilkinson. I'm Director of Policy and Planning for the Massachusetts Department of Public Health. Over a decade ago, I was the executive director of the Massachusetts affiliate of the American Public Health Association, the Mass Public Health Association. And we had a very close partnership with MACHWA. And so for about 12 years, I've been deeply involved in all of the efforts that you've heard about on the screen, trying to be true to a mission of being one of the allies that, as Durrell said, really kept CHWs in their hearts. And I was around for some of the coalition process where CHWs got dumped. I watched that and I learned, and so I hope I've been true to that mission. And I just want to say, as we talk about what's going on in the Board of Certification, the fight that Lorenza just described and that Durrell talked about of trying to get this bill passed and defending it as a voluntary title act rather than a mandatory certification or licensure was a true fight. And I, as somebody who had a lot of experience in legislative advocacy, really had my doubts about whether MACHWA would be able to pass the bill. It happened in one session, which is unheard of in Massachusetts, and it also happened over the intervention of the chair of the committee, which, again, doesn't happen in Massachusetts. MACHWA had enough clout so that the Speaker of the House overruled his own chair to side with MACHWA. So it was really quite remarkable. The Board of Certification was created by this act, as you've heard, and it has support from the administration, which recognizes the value of community health workers in a number of ways for promoting the core goals of and the so-called triple aim of healthcare reform. And that's why I think it got the traction that it did. It was the right time. It moved through that window of opportunity, as Durrell was talking about, at the right time. It's seen as an important initiative to control cost, improve quality, improve access, and reduce health disparities. So that we are required under the law to create a sustainable program of CHWs for CHWs. And what does that mean? Well, there are a number of elements of the program that are specified in the law. Now, the law, as you heard, is one that MACHWA wrote, and a number of us were involved in actually drafting. And, you know, it's funny, I came from MPHA to the department at the time where we had to implement the mandate of the 2006 healthcare reform. It had been ignored for over a year by the previous governor, Governor Romney. He just hadn't touched it. So when Governor Patrick came in, we started to implement that. So I've been on both sides of this. And so it's no accident these elements are here. MACHWA said, this is what we want. CHWs, you heard the process, and this is what got written into the law. So the board is required to establish education, training, experience, and other qualifications for individual CHWs who are going to apply to get certified. We have to establish the practice standards for CHWs. And we also have to develop standards for CHW training programs. That's explicit in the law. Their graduates will be presumed eligible for certification. We've got some great training programs in Massachusetts now, but none of them have been through this process either. They're at the table helping to put this together. There's also a piece in the law that requires us to set standards for CHWs who serve as trainers within certified training programs. There will be continuing education requirements for the renewal of these certifications. We've got a grandparenting clause so that people who have not been through a certified program but who are experienced and demonstrated mastery in the core competencies that we're defining as part of this practice standards will be able to be certified. We also have to set requirements for tiered levels of practice as certified CHWs. We are going to have biennial renewal. We have the authority as a board to establish exams or other methods of assessing competency. I just tell you, I'm not going into detail today about what the board has decided so far on these things, and we'll leave that if you want to hear more in the questions and answers. But We are not headed down the road of creating an exam for CHWs. We're also going to be looking at how to, well, technically whether, but frankly, how to establish reciprocity with other states. We'll be setting various administrative procedures. I'm not sure if I mentioned, I'm the chair of the board of certification. I'm the commissioner's designated chair of the board. So really have a significant role in working with CHWs to make this work. We'll be setting fees for the applicants, and we'll have power to adjudicate complaints and take disciplinary action. The board is chaired by the DPH commissioner or designee, and there are 10 additional members. This is all specified in the bill. So there are a number of organizations that have the power to name nominees that the governor chooses from. And not surprisingly, you might imagine, if you've been paying attention to how this bill came into place, MACHWA gets to nominate 4 of the 10 nominees. And they have to give multiple opportunities for the governor in each of the 4. But 4 of the 10 are CHWs. The Mass Public Health Association, the Mass League of Community Health Centers, the Mass Association of Health Plans, which I have to say were not originally a fan about any of this. The payers were not eager for this initiative back in 2008 and 2009. Now the representative from the Mass Association of Health Plans is one of the most constructive members of the board, really bought into this and also very helpful in assuring that this works practically for that vital constituency. And then we also have reps from the CHW training program world, a community-based employer, and a public member who is not at very specific guidelines about who can represent the public. But they basically have to know something but not be employed, not have been employed, not have parents, spouses, relatives, known people in this or other galaxies who've had financial industry. And we've also have requirements for geographic representation across the state. So it's been a puzzle, and we don't have all of the board members appointed yet. This is created within the Division of Health Professions licensure at the Department of Public Health, and that organization's mission is to protect the public health, safety, and welfare by licensing healthcare professionals, services, and facilities. Now, this is not a license. It is voluntary, but it is falling within the body that has a broad mandate and responsibility to protect the public health, not just protect CHW interests. And that was an important lesson for me because, frankly, I came into it as a CHW advocate. So we have a broader responsibility. And we operate under something called the Open Meeting Law, which is a very strict set of standards legally in Massachusetts that govern all legislated bodies to keep the operations of government transparent to the public. We just got 2 new board members appointed. We hope to see them at the November board meeting for the first time. If so, we will have 8 of the 10 appointed. And we began monthly meetings in July of 2012. So we've really gotten a lot of work done, but we've been quite deliberate about it. And we have been quite inclusive, and you're going to hear more about that. But I, as somebody who worked as a community organizer in the 1980s, including in public housing, I might have been called a community health worker back then, but it wasn't a term I'd ever heard of, and I really identified as a community organizer. And that's really about bringing power to the people or working with people for them to own their own power and assert their own power. And that has been the spirit in which we've run this board, is so that CHWs, in partnership with the other constituencies, can own and assert their voices and their power in this process. We've had a work group, therefore, that has met monthly, paralleling the board meetings, and it has had consistently at least 24 people. We had 30 or 40 in the first 6-8 months of the work group's work, but there are a lot of CHWs on that body, and they have the board charges them to do the deep dive work on some of the policy development. They develop recommendations, then we come back to the board. And we've also contracted with Machwa to run focus groups. We're contracting with Machwa to do the code of ethics that will be part of this process. So enough about that. We'll take more questions on the details, but I want to turn this back over to Lorenzo so you can hear how CHWs are experiencing the process. Thank you.
So once again, as a board member of Machwa and as a community health worker, I have been very interested in attending the Board of Certification meetings, and it's been quite an exciting process to be an active participant in that process. I particularly appreciate that while I'm attending these meetings, I always feel that even though I'm not on the Board of Certification, if I have a question or I want to contribute something, that my voice is always heard, and the voices of others that are sitting or participating but not board members can take an active part. So to educate the Board of Certification about community health workers, to make sure that all the people in the board of, sitting at the Board of Certification understood the role of community health workers, a group of community health workers were invited to educate and describe what they do and how they help individuals in a daily basis. And it really worked. I find that the Board of Certification really understands our profession and is committed to making sure that community health workers, that we succeed in our genuine role. Another stroke of genius I find has been the advisory work group. There's 50 of us that show up to those meetings, and it's an opportunity for a bigger community to roll up our sleeves and really work through the tougher questions and conundrums that the Board of Certification needs help with. And so Machwa has had a strong presence. Our board members have come from across the state, our staff, but also many of our members attend these meetings. And so how do we keep the voices of community health workers engaged through this Board of Certification process has been the same way that we have done before, by creating focus groups. And so the core competencies of community health workers, the draft that the board drafted, was taken back to our communities. And now soon the Code of Ethics, at our annual meeting, for example, we had the Code of Ethics and we divided the participants at our annual meeting and really worked through those two documents so that we can hear what are these documents, are these sort of core competencies making sense to community health workers. So we've gone across the state and we've taken whatever opportunities that we can to just make sure that community health workers feel committed, that they feel a part of it, that they are involved. Let's see, I know that we're running out of time, so I want to give time now to Gail and to Terry to talk about the core competencies and what work has been done. Thank you.